Okay. We're starting the meeting at 9:05 on September 5th. In attendance is the applicant, Mike Desitels, his surveyor, Brian Florrick, his engineer, Joe Ren, town engineer, Kyle Hallberg from CLA, public works director, John Carlson, assistant planner, Meredith Bataluka, zoning officer, Stacy Radford. This meeting is being recorded as the applicant has requested a meeting between the engineers and public works director. And this is part of a public hearing for application 25-4257 Chester Field Road. Okay, we will start the meeting. Mike, you had asked for us all to get together so that we could address questions on the town engineer and public works director's comments. So I am going to hand out to everybody a copy of their, both of their comments dated August 26, 2025, which are also on the town website as part of the public hearing information.
Thank you, Meredith.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
And Mike, if you want to start with what your concern.
Why don't we? Why don't we discuss the situation with the catch basin first and then get Joe out of here?
And I am bringing out the latest revised plan that we received on August 26th. Revised through August 26th, 2025. Anybody needs it?
The one thing you were asking for is you wanted to move the catch basin closer to the road.
Correct. Yep, it was shifted closer to the road.
We did shift it closer.
Yep, yep, and I think the concern was making sure that that is the low point of the road. It wasn't clear with any shots or spot grades and.
Yeah.
So it.
I'm going to go to that now.
Confirmation that that was the low, that is the low point of the road.
Okay.
And that it's not going to be a low point offset from that, that's they're going to shed water, you know, down into the house. That was.
Oh.
That's a big concern.
Sorry. So I certainly located the road in that location. I can go back through my shots and I can, I may not have a shot exactly at that spot, but I can interpolate between, you know, edge of road shots, it would be within, you know, 10 feet, you know, which I can easily do. So that's, and I can get that information to you, Joe.
Yep, and then we could shift the basin. You know, it's probably, it's fairly flat there, so we're probably within a few inches.
It really is, yeah. Yep, yep.
So if Timmy gives us those grades, then we can just shift the basin to make sure it's at the low point.
Sure, yep, yep.
So we get a bird bath there.
Exactly.
Part of the reason being closer to the road is for access for us during the wintertime.
Sure.
Even in the fall. My other concern was the short wings on the curb back. That's sure, I mean, I can't like sweep a truck in there to try to clean it and having two guardrail poles. If it's elevated enough, we really don't need the guardrail poles around that catch basin if it doesn't drop off like it currently does.
Right, there are whole.
You know, so that's where it's confusing because you said, well, you're taking out a couple poles, but then you're leaving the ones next to catch basin right in front of it. And I'm like, well, you know, you're not showing that, you're just saying that, you know, those poles are being removed, you're not showing the poles around the catch basin.
Yeah, there was all the poles staying in place, right? Still the apron behind the pole. So you want any gap in there, and there are guardrail posts there for, you know, they're just timber posts, they don't meet any certain standard.
No, they don't.
But they are there for a certain reason.
As a guide, so someone doesn't blow off the side of the road and roll their car over.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's really all it is, it's a guide.
Yeah.
It's not a guardrail per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So.
But the closer it is to the road, the easier it is for us to maintain.
But this has 25 feet of curb on both sides, so if we did 25 plus the basin, you're talking about over 50 feet. So you'll have a gap with no poles.
Well, we can put the poles behind the curbing if needed, you know. Wing it out so that it can be cleaned in the wintertime with a plow. I can drive by and I can sweep the plow in there and clean it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just wanna pull the base it up.
Closer it is to the road, the better off it is. I mean.
No, I just don't wanna put it in the road.
No, I don't want it in the road either. If you can bring it up within, you know, a foot of the road, that's perfect. You know, I don't, it's tough to say on here, you know, how close it's gonna be, you know. I honestly, I can't, you know, if I had my thing, you know, it's just a hard detail to see for me, you know.
So what you want is something that's blown up more detail where you can see exactly what's going on.
Right, kinda what you're doing. I mean, you know, if you're gonna be 3 feet off the road, I mean, that's pretty far. You know, the closer we are to the edge of the road.
So can you grab one?
I've got a small one.
That one? Of course. Just in case something comes up.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I always assume that when I start measuring.
You know, I'm just gonna adjust that lot, right?
No, I wouldn't, yeah, I wouldn't have it.
I mean, what's your final, what are you doing for grading for the front yard too? You know, that's my other concern. I mean, if you don't grade that correctly, you know, that's why we're talking, driving this out and this out. You know, I don't need water going down this driveway street into their house. You haven't shown what elevation the house is gonna sit at, unless I missed it.
Part of this too, Jim, is that this is conceptual, you know, and.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we don't know exactly what house, where, these generalizations, and I understand your concern.
Yeah, concern.
Yes, understood. A lot of stuff can be addressed at the site plan level, you know.
Yeah, aren't your current concerns when I apply for building permit, this goes back in front of you again?
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanna make sure we're on the right page.
Yeah.
Cause this is not a building permit, this is just.
No, okay.
It's a conceptual.
Yeah.
Layout showing that we can.
I may overspeak sometimes, I'm sorry.
Technically.
No, it's totally fine, I mean.
That's what I have to look at.
No, understood your point, understood the point, you.
Well, the future is the building permit application. You're gonna, if you don't sign off on it.
Right, you're gonna, this is gonna be fun to you again. I mean, we can't build a house based on this.
I'm gonna have to address.
From an engineering standpoint, if we took this lot, might wanna build a house on here, give us the exact footprint, we would do a detailed site plan. Part of that detailed site plan, we actually have a descending drive detail that humps a little bit before it goes back, and then there's an inch and a half lip out the road.
Perfect.
Usually, so that keeps all the runoff out of the road. So at that level, when we're doing it in a specific house on that specific lot, then you'll have all that.
Okay.
All that detail.
And you can put, as one of your final comments, that you need to review each zoning permit for each lot before development.
Okay, yeah.
That way, if you sell the lot off, Mike, and somebody else builds, they'll know that that's for them.
The next guy would have to do the same thing anyway.
Right.
There's a process to go through, we get the building permit.
And that will give Stacy or the next zoning officer the, make sure John.
What do you mean the next one?
We always think in the future.
We're just getting trained up.
It's not gonna be any soon.
All right, so action item for that, for the catch basin, is Brian will get us the actual low point, right? So we can put that in the right place, add those spot grades there. We'll bring it close within a foot of the edge of the road.
Yeah.
And then take the guide posts out, at least where there's flatter than a 4-to-1 slope.
Yes, yeah.
And then run the curb out 25 feet on either side of the catch basin. That's kind of like you.
Yeah, or somewhere close to the driveway, I don't even know how far, but whatever, just somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not just gonna stop it there, it'll end up probably turning and dying off in the driveway.
Yeah. And then this way, that'll be perfect for that whole place, they won't get any water from the street.
I mean, there is a utility pole there, but someone with their, if they want an end load garage, I mean, the driveway potentially could be over there.
Right.
You know, if they want more sweep to get an end load.
Yeah.
That's why it really depends on.
Yeah, even if it's just a 225-foot pieces, it's fine, at least something.
Okay.
You know.
There's no curb on that edge right now.
No, there's not.
Okay.
No, used to sheet flow off.
So it is beveled the end right down to.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I'm, if you want to stick to the drainage real quick, so your flow counts that you had submitted are all totally fine, I know those are good.
Yeah.
My only question would be the actual scour pad sizing, the 6x6 seems small. If you could go further into that DOT table where it's the actual scour hole sizing counts, if you could demonstrate what size it should be based on that.
Yeah, certainly. When we computed that, you know, without doing a whole watershed analysis.
Yep.
We conservatively assumed a full flow of that 18-inch pipe at that slope that it's at.
Yep, and that's totally fine, yes.
Conservative, because if the town's design storm is a 10 or 25-year storm, that pipe's not gonna be full.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So we're already over that, so we just went into the DOT table and based on the velocity of a full flow, would put us, we even changed the corrugated pipe too. We saw that, just to lower the velocity down a little bit.
Yep.
And then, so at the outlet, it's just, it's in that shaded range where it says you need a scour.
It's a scour, yeah.
Anyway, we don't like aprons because it just lets the water go.
Flat, yeah.
Here it brings it down to zero velocity and then just lets it trickle off when it needs to and holds the sediment in Dunkin' Donuts cups and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
And so that's going completely downhill toward the wetland. So that's why we like preform scour holes. And no matter what the velocity is, we always use them. But whether it's a 6x6 or an 8x8, I start thinking 8x8 is almost the size of a room for an 18-inch pipe. It seemed a little too much to be in someone's side yard. I thought a 6x6 was large, but more reasonably sized. So we'll look into that size, but it's not gonna be any bigger than an 8x8.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be any smaller than a 6x6.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other question you had is you wanted that to be in the center of the easement.
Well, yeah, I think it got the pipeline got shifted around at some point, but the easement stayed where it is, so it's kind of skewed through the easement.
That's going to change again when that catch basin.
So once that alignment's finalized, if you could square up the easement so that the pipe is centered.
I mean, that's an easy fix, Kyle.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
The part of the problem is that a lot of this language for the drainage easement based on that location had already been established and already been approved by the town attorney.
Yeah.
So, you know, now we're shifting things again, you know, and that's why I knew it fit, so that's why I didn't.
Yep. I think in the final iteration of it or whatever, what if
as long as it's in the easement.
Well, you want it centered in the easement, so you don't want the pipe to happen to be on one side of it, so that if John ever has to go in there and maintain it, he can't take it up because it'll be outside of the easement.
And the wording of the drainage easement's been approved, but changing.
All right, so that's okay? All right. Okay.
I'll go through it, I'll look at it, and I'll quickly run it by the town attorney. Hey, I looked at the meets and bounds and wording. The wording itself hasn't changed.
Okay.
Just the numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, as long as we're good with that, then I can easily change that.
The line, that's easy.
I just didn't want it.
We'll finalize the location of the catch basin before.
Based on, right,
100%.
No, I'm not the catch basin. Fair point. No, yeah. I don't want to do it twice, trust me.
Do we still have an issue with the discharge point of the pipe?
Well, that, I don't, my only concern was the well being where it was.
So we moved
the well. Moved the well, so there's not a question anymore.
And once again, we can handle that at the site plan level too.
Yeah.
There's conceptual stuff.
Yeah.
Well, location of the building permit and the actual location of the house.
The thing about the grading is you can see the contours here, and this topo is the updated topo,
yes,
right? What's out there today. So you can see this lot, this private lot next door, you can see how that goes way uphill. There's almost like a natural kind of bead in there right now.
Yeah.
So we just accentuated that. We didn't want to bring grading in for the wetland buffer.
Yep, that's fine,
But we do have a grade to drain right to the silt fence. So we have this pretty defined swale in here after that. Remember, that's a scour pool that's a foot and a half deep and it's 6 or 8 feet in diameter. And the water's going to sit in there in a bigger storm, and then it's going to leak out over into the swale. So it's not like it's a gush of water, 18-inch pipe going down that swale. It's just leaking out.
And that leads to my other comment was a detail for that swale. If it's going to be a 2-foot bottom, 3-foot bottom, side slopes, vegetated, whatever the detail of it's going to be, if you could put something on there. just a section.
Yeah, we could add a detail, I think the intent was just to, because it's zero velocity in there, it's gonna leak over, it's just gonna be kind of like a grass.
A shoot drink.
Swell, you know, between the higher ground here, and just be kind of.
Yeah, if you could just put a construction detail on there for that, that would be
Typical grass swell detail, or we can just.
Yeah, yeah, please,
Trapezoidal section.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, did I have one?
Trapezoidal swales are never built trapezoidal.
No, it looks great on paper.
They never end up that way, yeah.
It's always difficult to train staff, like, don't do this, because it's not gonna get built like that, you know, just make it smooth, because that's how the machinery is gonna, has to make it. But yeah, we can put a grass swale on there, I'm not too concerned about it, again, because it's gonna be zero velocity in that basin, and it's just gonna be just skimming off the top and coming down that slope.
Yep.
Overland.
And sometimes when you look at these plans, and I look at them a lot, you start to imagine you have to say, I'm here.
Yeah.
And then how far am I going down over here?
Right.
What's it really gonna look like? To try to get that concept as.
Well, this is probably a walkout basement lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the driveway is up here, and the backyard is down here, and then the swale is just off to the side, a little bit lower than the walkout basement level.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's how this will be, you can see, like, you know, this contour, that's where the walkout level is, but then that drags back to here, just to capture that swale, so, you know, this point here is like, what are these two full contours, I can't remember. So this point here is 2 feet lower.
Yeah.
And the basement level, so it comes down and goes into the swale.
Yeah.
It's gonna go, way from the house.
And it's also directed here, and then we shifted the well to be centered on the house, so it's away from that corner.
Sure.
So we have more than 25 feet.
Dealing too at the site plan level, which certainly putting drains in, and, you know, stone the basement, I mean, stuff like that, you know, to keep the water away from that, from the house, that's. How much detail do you put in, first off, you know, it's kind of a.
Yeah.
You don't wanna get too crazy, because somebody's gonna come in with a different house, they're not gonna build a.
Right.
Yeah.
As you were saying, it's just a concept right now, it's not an actual, we're gonna put it exactly here.
It's just a demonstration that something reasonable can be built on the lot, it's suitable to handle a reasonable house.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I think the only last thing that I had in any of my comments was the fill that was placed out there, if you guys know what it is, if you could, just a statement or a letter or something. Or if you don't, or if you don't know what it is, that, you know, just a statement, what if or what it is that was placed out there.
Told me that that was a glacial deposit, it's just beautiful gravel with no stone bigger than 6 or 8 inch.
The stuff that was placed on the edge of the road?
That stuff came from 117 Lake Drive, it all came from one spot.
Okay.
We lowered it down, and I just happened to have a hole that I could put it in.
Okay.
3 miles apart, so. So it worked out good.
Otherwise, I probably would have never built on that.
Yeah.
So just a letter stating.
Something that says, yeah, that this is the material, this is what it is.
Beautiful, and that's clean, right?
Didn't come from the landfill.
Well, that would, yeah.
Yeah, there's no debris in that at all.
So. Yeah, I saw one of John's comments were about, it was about the topo, that wasn't addressed, we just talked about that.
Yeah, we're good, I'm good. I seem to be good with all, like I said, you said we're gonna come back later, we'll do that later, because we're addressing, you know.
We're not opposed to a condition of the approval that everything goes back to Public Works, it usually does anyways, so the normal process, but Mike's not opposed to that condition of approval.
No.
And if you write that up, Stacy will make sure before she signs off on any zoning permit.
And instead of me posting a $10,000 bond to do that, can we make it a condition of approval that I do it now?
A condition of approval is gonna be that it has to be done, any public improvements have to be done.
So I have to put a bond up.
But we need the bond in case you start it, or in case everything starts to go all over the road.
So you need the bond, like, now?
As part of the condition of approval, you'll have to do a bond.
What I'm saying is, as a condition of approval, I don't get approval until I put that in. Like, I'd like to do it now, and not put $10,000.
No, you have to, there has to be a bond for you to start the work.
One way or the other. But I'll get it back quick, because I'm still gonna do it now.
And I, believe, I don't wanna speak for the finance department, but 10,000 and over, they accept a surety bond.
Correct.
So probably to a surety bond.
Okay.
I should say the one I was just looking back to, the one last thing I did have was that shared driveway. You've kind of got to switch back, you know, driveway going in there, if you could just show that a car can make that kind of S curve, you know, through there. Or if you needed wider driveway apron to accommodate, you know, turning movements, and then, you know, that would be fine too, but if you could just show that something can make that turn to that side where it splits off to that front lot there.
Entering in?
Yeah, the loop coming in, and as you're coming from this direction, it's kind of that S curve going, you know, going in there. Whether you need a wider or
coming from that, I mean, coming from this direction is fine because you're in the outside lane, but coming from that direction when you're in the close lane, I could say, I mean, you're making that the hard right, and then you're making another movement once you get in there.
Yeah, you've got kind of got that S curve in there, and if that apron should be a wider apron, and I don't know if that's going to impact the easement, you know, between the two in there or not.
It shouldn't. It's more about on the town right away that apron will be, and that's fine. I got plenty of easement room in there. Move the drive.
Is the town okay if we just flare out these radiuses, flatten out those radiuses? Because I think that's
that
all you really need.
That's fine to make sure, yeah.
If this radius went out like this, that perfectly aligns.
Yeah, right. My only thought, if that can work, my only concern is if you needed a bigger radius to make that work and fell outside of the easements. Yeah, you know, that kind of gets into a sketchy situation, but if it can all fit in that easement.
That's a pretty big easement. That's a good issue.
The other alternative, then, does it make sense just to bring the driveway here?
Well, you
can't.
It has to be shared.
Because it's an interior lot, and our zoning regulations have to be shared, they can't have separate.
And they're.
Even with one as a frontage lot.
Yeah, this lot has to come off of this one. Backwards intuitively in my brain, you'd think it would be the other way, but.
The only thing you do is just bring it right in, just make them take a left turn into there.
We could do that too.
Because that would go away.
I know people,
yeah.
and the closer to the road, you know, you switch off of somebody else's property, the happier they are.
Yeah.
You know, then when you're not worried about, you know, I mean.
They're speeding down my.
The less sharing, the less the better.
Right, yeah.
You already had the easement there too, but.
That's what
if you flatten out those radii on both sides, I think that solves it.
Yeah, that's super easy.
Like this line here, if you just drew a straight line out.
Yeah.
So when they pull in, they're coming right directly in.
That's super easy.
Yeah. I would just do that. It stays on the easement.
Yeah, that's
so the nephew comes up the road really fast, and the other one's coming up, and they're not looking, and they go, ka-toom!
Private property.
This guy does have 400 feet to get going. Do I have to put speed bumps?
Don't oxygen set away.
No, this is good. It's always good to get everybody in the same room and just talk it through, and then,
yeah.
You know, so.
I just want to finalize this one more time, and that's it.
Yes.
And if we, speaking of finalizing, we'll need the plans, all the final revisions into our office by September 16th, so that I can get them out to everybody to look at, get them on the town website so the public can look at them, the commissioners can look at them, so.
You'll have it before that, so give a review before.
Yep, and before is good because then everybody's got time to look at everything.
If you can review it via CDI.
We do need a hard copy.
If you see something right off the bat that you want to change, just kind of look at it. Every time, I know it doesn't matter, but every time I get these printed out, 2 cents is about $140, and I get tired of making 20,
and
it's expensive.
We're being nice because our regulations say 10 cents, so I'm making it to 2.
It's not 10.
We don't make anyone do 10 anymore, that's just.
Yeah, a lot of times I go to 1 or 2, and then I have a copy. Yeah, that's it. Some towns still make you do 20, but that's, we know that.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, this is, some still do that, yeah. Yeah, but not on your own.
Go in there with a pot, it's like,
yeah.
You know, the pot.
Maybe just sorry.
We have people, because it's in my, our office is on its own floor. That's fine.
All right, so.
Is there anything else on this?
Was there anything else?
I don't know, I don't have any.
Last time.
Yeah, I just kind of looked.
I, Johnny and Kyle, what they're saying, their sites are, that's really the purpose of the meeting.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, just the key thing is just identifying the low point in the road, once we have that, we could shift the basin. We can get Kyle the sizing for the, and that's it, I mean, that's it from our end.
That's all gonna be.
The grading is gonna stay the same pretty much.
Yeah, won't change.
All right.
Yeah, done, yeah.
Right, I'll just do the driveway.
Yeah, done.
So, we are going to end the meeting at 9:31.